Come one, come all, come gather around. Come hear tales both lost and found. Finally a show not about true crime. It's David and Michael's story time.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I've waited for David to take his drink, which means I get to start the episode. Welcome back to an exciting, adventure-filled fairy tale romp here on Storytime.
Woo.
The one having a wonderful, delicious tea. Well, that's David Miller.
And the one who thought that a red wine spritzer was tea, well, that's Michael Santel.
Are you really having a red wine spritzer in the afternoon?
Why the fuck not?
I can either confirm or deny why I'm slurring these words.
I'm not ashamed. And it's not super strong. It's, you know.
Yeah. I love that your drinking habits, have you gotten older, has got you closer to a 60-year-old white woman than what you were previously.
Yeah.
And that's a good world for you. Do you put ice cubes in your white wine yet?
It's not, well, I don't drink a lot of white wine, but no, I don't typically. This is a red wine spritzer, and it's instead of soda water, it's ginger ale.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. So it's still got a little bit of that diabetes flair on it. That's still got that sweet treat. Speaking of sweet treats, David, I have two sweet treats for you today. They'll be going inside
of your ears.
They
better be fucking like treat-based. Like
one of them has, yeah, I would say they're treat-based. There's treats in both of these stories.
That was not a very convincing yeah, but I'll take it.
Yep. Today, we're starting on chapter 87, the year I was born, page 308 on your workbooks, everybody.
308, the year I was born.
That's right. The first tale I have to tell you, because I have two special treats for you.
Right.
Our first tale is going to be called The Poor Man and the Rich Man.
I love it. I feel like we've heard the story before, because every story is this. Before we continue, I have to run and grab my whiteboard because I forgot to get something to write notes on.
You son of a bitch. He's drunk out of his goddamn mind drinking these red wine spritzers. I don't like any drink that sounds like a German train. A spritzer? It's a fast train? No thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, David's back. That's enough vamping out of me.
I'll drive a stake through your heart if you keep going.
It's so funny that you said that, because all of these, where I have to check all the time if I told you these tales. I have no recollection of this one, so I feel confident in these two.
Sure.
But they are some wacky-tacky tales.
The Rich Man and the Poor Man.
The Poor Man and the Rich Man.
That's why it's different. The Poor Man and the Rich Man. Okay, well, predictions. This is about a poor man, but also, see now a crazy prediction would be like, this is about a poor man who becomes a rich man. And the title is like, the poor man and the rich man are the same man, but no, these are going to be two different men. And I'm going to go with, hopefully this is a, not a like classist, like the rich man is better, but like the poor man is going to be clever. The rich man is going to like be an idiot or evil. I want to say bad, like, but
sure.
I would prefer if it was just like the rich man is an idiot, the poor man is smart and constantly has to like get the rich man out of scrapes.
Will there be talking animals?
Sure. Yeah. I feel like I haven't heard a fairy tale in a while, so I'm going to go with just, yeah.
Is God involved in this story, David?
Only the God of money.
Oh my goodness, that guy. What other questions? I forgot my other questions.
How many people die?
Oh yeah, how many people die?
Two.
And I have a new question for you. Will there be any crossover with Animorphs?
Only where we insert it, but there will be something in here that we can definitely be like, that's a chi. That is a member of the chi right there.
So. I love that. Well, get your grading fingers ready, because I'll ask you how many stars thars you give this at the very end. But here we go, the poor man and the rich man. In olden times.
So this was written in the 1800s. So what year is it set in?
maybe 20. Well,
olden
David,
times to them.
In olden. Well, what do you think they would say?
It'd be like, right, if you, it'd be like the like 15, 16, 1700s.
Would you say Bible times?
Well, no, that'd be like ancient times, wouldn't it?
Well, I figure Egypt is ancient times, and that olden times were like the other empires.
We definitely dealt with Egypt in the Bible, so check mate, sir.
David, in olden times, when the Lord himself used to walk about on this earth among men...
That's Garden of Eden times.
David, no, funny enough, this is still like the 1650s.
Sure, yeah, okay.
It once happened that he was tired and overtaken by the darkness before he could reach an inn.
Also, damn it, God is... It's one of those ones where I'm like, no, God. And then immediately it's like, God was walking along one day.
Walking along a trail.
It here happens I am. Every time I say it's not God. He's literally and physically just a person there in the story. So he's just overtaken by darkness. So this is like when God went through his like goth phase.
That's very true. He's got you can hear him jingle jangling down the road.
He's walking along the road to himself, composing My Immortal.
It's so funny that if you were to close your eyes, you couldn't tell the difference between a goth and a Santa Claus elf. Because they would both have jingle jangles on their feet. Sure. One would be their chains like attached to their raver outfit, and the other one would just be spreading holiday cheer.
When you were growing up, did you have like a big wallet chain?
I had one big wallet chain and caught it on everything. Uh-huh. Then I had a small wallet chain of which the school was like, you ain't bringing that shit here.
Sure.
And then in my Blockbuster days, I had lanyards.
Yeah, I remember like your lanyards. Yeah.
Loved my lanyards, but they caught on everything. Mm-hmm. So now I just have tiny little hooks on things.
Yeah. Did you have any studded bracelets or belts?
No, David.
You weren't that kind of kid. Right.
No, I was. I did not have a studded bracelet. I did have a belt. The belts were cool. I liked a studded belt. I feel like a belt is like, yeah, I might whip this off in a scrape or a scrap. Yeah, I totally love those.
You're repping the Vulcan stuff?
No, I feel like I wasn't allowed to wear skater stuff because I wasn't the skater kid.
You didn't
want to
be called a poser.
Yeah,
you didn't want to
be called a poser. I didn't want to be called a poser. That's right. Mm-hmm. I never did any posing. I just did a lot of leaning. I was a lazy kid. Get back to it. Now there stood on the road before him two houses facing each other. The one large and beautiful, the other small and poor.
Love it.
The large one belonged to a rich man and the small one belonged to a...
immigrant.
Poor man. Oh, okay, yeah. Then the Lord thought, I shall be no burden to the rich man. I will stay the night with him.
Mm-hmm.
When the rich man heard someone knocking at his door, he opened the window and asked the stranger what he wanted. The Lord answered, I only ask for a night's lodging. When the rich man looked at the traveler and from head to foot and saw that the Lord was wearing common clothes and did not look like one that had much money in his pockets, he shook his head and said, no, I cannot take you in my rooms. They're full of herbs and seeds. If I were to lodge everyone who knocked on my door, I might very soon be begging myself. David, this is a weed drug dealer. He's got herbs growing in the rooms. Go somewhere else for lodging. And with that, he shut down the window and left the Lord standing there. He closed the door and then shut a window as well. Because when you close a door, God opens a window.
He shut
the possibilities of the Lord. He goes, you're not getting in here, dude. So the Lord turned his back on the rich man and went across the small house and knocked. He had hardly done so when the poor man opened his little door and bade the traveler come in. Pass the night with me. It is already dark, said he. You cannot go any further tonight. This pleased the Lord. And he went in. The poor man's wife shook hands with him and welcomed him and said that he was to make himself at home and put up with what they had. They had not so much to offer him, but they had, but what they had, they would give him with all of their hearts. Just what God wants, everything you have at all times. Then she put up the potatoes on the fire, and while they were boiling, she milked the goat, and they might have a little milk with that. When the cloth was laid, the Lord sat down with the man and his wife and enjoyed their coarse food, for there were happy faces at the table. I wonder if when they said blessings, he was like, oh dear Lord, and he did like
a, and he's like, wink. Yes.
Yes. They're like, why are you interrupting this? He's like, no problems.
I wonder if he was excited if they asked him, like, would you like to say grace? Like, and he was like, ooh, I've never gotten to pray to me before.
Lord, who might be in heaven? He can't give it away.
Hallowed be my, I mean, thy name.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He mixes up all of the different pronouns. When kingdom comes and it's a comet. Oh, never mind. When they had supper and it was bedtime, the woman called her husband apart and said, dear husband, let us make up a bed of straw for ourselves tonight, and then the poor traveler can sleep in our bed and have a good rest, for he has been walking the whole day through, and that makes one very weary. With all my heart, he answered, I will go and offer it to him. And he went to the stranger and invited him, if he had no objection, to sleep in their bed and rest his limbs properly. But the Lord was unwilling to make the bed for the two old folks. However, they would not be satisfied until at length he did and lay down in the bed while they themselves lay on some straw on the ground. Next morning, they got up before daybreak and made as good of a breakfast as they could for their guests. When the sun shone in through the little window and the Lord had got up, he again ate with them and then prepared to set out on his journey.
What do you think the breakfast was? Like smiley face pancakes?
I believe so. I believe so. I don't think they could have the rights to Mickey Mouse at this time, so it was probably just like smiley face.
It's just God is like, why is this pancake in the shape of like a mouse? Like, and they're like, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
They look at the one they were looking at him all night while they're on the floor, so that's why. But as he was standing at the door, he turned around and said, as you are so kind and good, you may wish three things for yourself and I will grant them. Then the man said, now this is a good man, David, so you know that you know what these wishes are going to be, right?
He wants a big dick, a big house, and world peace.
You're pretty close. What else should I wish for but eternal happiness, and that we too, as long as we live, may be healthy, and that every day our daily bread. And for the third wish, I do not know what to have. That good health means a working dick in my mind, so I feel like you're two for
well,
two now.
Working dick, yeah, sure, yeah.
And the Lord said to him, will you wish for a new house instead of the old one?
Oh, man, I was really good on this.
Oh, yes, said the man. If I could have that too, I should like it very much.
Sure.
And the Lord fulfilled his wish and changed the old house into a new one and gave them his blessings and went on.
Oh, his blessings. Wink.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, listen, wherever they go, there's going to be a wonderful sunshine glow around them. You know what I mean?
Oh, I meant like that was when his dick got bigger.
Oh, okay. He's like,
oh, wow, now you are truly blessed.
He's like, let's go. Let's get this guy out of here so we can go to the straw pile over there on the floor.
Rolling the hay.
Rolling the hay. Yeah. It's a pre-lesson. You should not refer to your wife as a straw pile, everybody. It does not make them happy. The sun was high when the rich man got up and leaned out his window and saw, on the opposite side of the way, a new clean-looking house with red tiles and a bright windows where the old hut used to be.
That shit was not checked with the HOA.
He was very much astonished and called his wife and said to her, tell me, what can have happened? Last night, there was a miserable little hut standing there, and today there is a beautiful new house? Run over there and see what has come to pass. So he sends over that gossipy wife. Yeah, of course. So his wife went and asked the poor man and said to her, yesterday evening a traveler came here and asked for a night's lodging. And this morning when he took leave, he granted us three wishes. Eternal happiness, health during his life, and daily bread as well. And besides this, a beautiful new house instead of our old hut. Also, what a great two-for-one wish. They got health and loaf of bread? What the fuck?
Daily.
Daily! Every day there's going to be a delicious loaf of bread. When the rich man's wife heard this, she ran back in haste and told her husband how it had happened. The man said, I could tear myself to pieces! If I had but known that, the traveler came to our house and wanted to sleep here, and I sent him away!
That's right.
Quick, said his wife, get on your horse. You will catch that man, and you must ask him to have three wishes granted to you!
Wow, that's not how it works.
The rich man followed the good counsel and galloped away on his horse and soon caught up with the lord. He spoke to him softly and pleasantly and begged him not to take it amiss, and he had to let him in directly. He was looking for the front door key, and in the meantime, the stranger had gone away. And if he returned the same way, he must come and stay with them. I didn't mean to. I was looking for a key. I couldn't see you when I slammed the door in your face and told you you couldn't stay here. That's not what I meant.
Oh, no. I'm going to write a lesson down, but we'll see if it's true or not.
Yes, said the lord. If I ever come back again, I will do so. Then the rich man asked if he might not wish for three things too, and his neighbor had done. Yes, said the lord, he might, but it would not be to his advantage, and he had better not wish for anything. But the rich man thought that he could easily ask for something which would add to his happiness, if he only knew that it would be granted. So the lord said to him, ride home then, and three wishes which you shall form shall be fulfilled. The rich man had now gained what he wanted, so he rode home and began to consider what he should wish for. As he was thus thinking, he let the bridle fall, and the horse began to caper about, so that he would continually disturb his meditations.
Oh my God.
And could not collect his thoughts at all.
Oh my God.
He patted it on the neck and said, gentle Lisa. And the horse only began new tricks. And at last, in his anger, he cried quite impatiently, I wish your neck was broken.
Oh my God.
Kunk, crack.
Okay.
As soon as he had said those words, the horse fell on the ground. And there it lay, dead.
I know.
And never moved again.
It's going to be a controversial opinion, but I think he nailed it with his first wish.
No, David, he didn't nail it. It just broke its neck.
Oh, I know.
He didn't Jesus the horse, David. The horse fell down.
What I'm saying is good on him for getting rid of that lousy creature.
Don't let your horse biases affect you, David, okay? You're missing the story.
He doesn't have that wish anymore, but it was put to good use is all I'm saying.
And thus was the first wish fulfilled. As he was miserly by nature, he did not like to leave the harness lying there. So he cut it off and put it on his back. And now he had to go on foot. I still have two wishes left, and said he, and he comforted himself with that thought. I like the idea that the horse was too heavy, so he had to like godfather the head of the horse off of it. He had to like saw the horse.
And then like shimmy the harness off
of it. He's covered in blood and grime now. And now he was walking slowly through the sand, and the sun was burning hot at midday. He grew quite hot-tempered and angry.
Mm-hmm.
The saddle hurt his back, and he had not yet any idea what to wish for. If I were to wish for the riches and treasures of the world, said he to himself, I should still think of all kinds of other things later on.
Yeah.
Or I know that beforehand, but I will manage so that there is nothing left for me to wish for afterwards. Then he sighed, if I were but a Bavarian peasant who likewise had three wishes granted to him and knew quite well what to do with them. In the first place, I'd wish for a great deal of beer. Then in the second, for as much beer as I was able to drink. And the third, for a barrel of beer to bargain with.
What?
That's just a little racism against Bavarians, what? David. You know, if he was one of those fucking filthy just alcoholic me. Bavarians. Just an aside for you, if you will, a little shade thrown at the Bavarian listeners. And I want all of you Bavarians out there listening right now, this story does not reflect the insights or thoughts of the people doing this podcast, okay? Many a time he thought that he had found it, and then it seemed to him he had, after all, too little. Then it came into his mind what an easy life his wife had, for she stayed at home in a cool room and enjoyed herself.
Okay. Way to try to, like, position patriarchy to be like, yeah, but you guys have it so easy.
This really did vex him, and before he was aware, he said, I just wish she was sitting there on this saddle and could not get off of it, instead of me having to drag it along my back. And at that last word it was spoken, the saddle disappeared from his back, and he saw that his second wish had been fulfilled. Then he really did feel warm, because now the sun's directly beating on his back. Or it could be that he's a little angry that he knows the shitstorm he's about to walk into.
He's about to get home, and she's going to be real pissed.
Well, let's see what happens. He began to run and wanted to be quite alone in his own room at home to think of something really large for his last wish. But when he arrived there and opened the parlor door, he saw his wife sitting in the middle of the room on the saddle, crying and complaining and quite unable to get off of it. So he said, "Do bear with it, and I will wish for all the riches on earth for you. Only stay where you are." She, however, called him a fool and said, "What good will all the riches on earth do me if I am to sit on a saddle? You have wished me on it, so you will wish me off of it."
Yeah.
So whether he liked it or not, he was forced to let the third wish be that she should be free from the saddle and able to get off of it.
At least he did that. I thought he wasn't going to do that. I thought he was going to be like, "Nope, fuck that." Like,
and immediately the wish was fulfilled. So he got nothing but vexation, trouble, abuse, and the loss of his horse. But the poor people lived happily, quietly, and piously until their happy death. The end.
I like that their death was happy too.
Yeah, well, you know, they went instantly to hell, you know what I mean? They never did any work for God, you know what I mean? But like, they still had happy lives.
Sure.
David, let's go to lessons.
Uh-huh.
Lessons.
The first lesson I wrote down is everybody needs a break, even the Lord on high. He sometimes needs to go out for a little walkabout.
That's one of the first things we learn about him in the Bible. He did all this work, and then he's like, "Now I need to take a break."
And some people
take that break so seriously.
I know. What did you learn, David?
Rich people are who should give the most charity.
And I feel like this is literally the story the teacher would tell you in the first grade classroom. Mm-hmm. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah, it's the Fairly Odd Parents, but in I have God likes to be in disguise.
He loves a great like
magician trick.
I'm going
to extend that to
trick.
Gods in general, because when we went back to like Greek myths and Norse myths, like they were always disguising themselves as other shit.
They love seducing
a
woman.
The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is no different.
He showed to Moses as a burning bush. Yeah. So like, yeah, that's a disguise.
Yeah. He came down to earth as a whole Jesus. Like,
I wrote that I learned that the stench of the poor is what is very attractive to God. Maybe that's why there's so many poor people on earth. God's
okay.
Just like,
yeah, that's it.
Like when he's done in the bathroom, he uses the Febreze poor people smell. Yeah, he's like, this is what I like.
Salt of the earth is what it's called.
Oh,
salt
that's what it's earth, called. Yes.
There was a moment in this, the whole idea where he's like, the rich man has a bunch of shit, but then he says no, and he goes over to the poor people, and the poor people are like, "Well, we'll give you what we have. We don't have much, but here's what it is." It reminds me of a moment in my favorite Western movie, The Magnificent Seven, where they're trying to recruit all these guys for this like mission, and they find this guy who's like, "Hey, we heard that you're like a really amazing gun hand to hire. We heard you did this thing." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I got paid $400 for that one." Like, "Wow, we heard you did this thing by yourself." And he's like, "Yeah, they paid me $600 for that one." And then he's like, when they find him, he's like chopping wood for his breakfast because he's like got no work. He's got nothing going on. And he's like, "Well, how much does this job pay?" And the guy's like, $20. And the guy looks around and he goes, $20 right now, that's a lot. And he takes the job. And so it's like, yeah, like the less you have, the more things are worth, right? So even though they didn't have much, what they gave is worth more than what the rich man could have given.
And them being poor didn't have anything to do with like their piousness. Because
they weren't being poor as like punishment for being bad people or anything. Like,
right.
Oh,
it's
and,
not
they weren't,
a punishment.
And they weren't intentionally poor. Like, no, we're giving up the comforts of the world to be spiritual. Like, it wasn't that either. Yeah.
Listen, the beginning of that story could have zigged and zagged anyway. They could have asked for a wonderful like tree baby, but they didn't. You know what I mean? Like that
yeah,
story
this could have
gone
off the rails.
Off the rails. David, any more lessons?
Oh yeah, I've got a few more. Offer your guest the good bed.
Yeah. Oh, my parents do that. My dad has his own like office bed because he has awful hours.
Sure.
And my mom, we've been going down and like my mom will be like, "You take my bed. You guys can sleep in there." I always feel guilty, but I always take her bed because it is the best.
I mean,
bed
even
the
God
house.
Was like, no, it's okay. And they were like, please. And he's like, okay, fine. I'll take the bed. Yeah.
Okay. You don't have to ask me twice.
God is a genie. We didn't know that.
Uh-huh, that is very true. I believe that.
Don't lie to God's face. When the rich man came up and was like, I swear, I was just looking for the key. It wasn't a big deal. Like, I was like, come on, God knows.
Yeah, he literally saw your eternal spirit lying to him.
And then the last one I have is, you gotta have a place in your house that's like your space.
Yeah.
The rich man went home and he's like, I just need to sit in a room by myself so I can hear myself think.
Yeah.
And that's all you need sometimes is just your own space.
What, do you have a space in your... I mean, you have lots of spaces.
Now my whole apartment is my space.
Okay, well now I'm just shitting on your whole space then. Because I take up all of your space. When I'm there, I'm like in all of your stuff. You know what I mean?
You don't spend a lot of time in my room. My room is still my space.
You could turn that one broom closet into like your special meditation room if you wanted to.
I don't need it. But that's
it's big
fine.
Enough, David. It's big enough.
Yeah.
David, now our second story. And wait. I hate...
I haven't done Stars Upon Thars.
Stars Upon Thars, I apologize. Yeah. David, how many stars you give that one?
A solid 4.
It's almost a Bible story. It yeah. really could be a yeah. Bible story. It,
that
you
was
know
a parable.
I mean?
Like, that was absolutely, like, a parable with a moral story. It wasn't fucked up. We didn't, like, get weird. Like, it was just a rich man was bad. Poor people were good. Rich man tried to get what he didn't deserve or didn't earn and then got what he deserves.
Just so everybody knows that I recognize David's biases that a horse was brutally murdered by God magic and David yeah. has no problems with it. This
it wasn't
normal,
in my lessons because it was
it
fine.
Wasn't, yeah, it's a wonderful story to him. Now, I know you and I know the things that you like narratively. Mm-hmm. I'm about to tell you an infuriating story.
Great.
Now,
way
I say
to build
that,
me up with a story that I liked and then wreck
I'm
it all.
To build you up, Buttercup baby, just to let you down. David, on chapter 88, page 312 of our workbook.
Oh, that's the year I was born.
That's right. I'm about to tell you the story of the singing, comma, springing lark.
The singing, springing lark.
And I'm going to let you know, that title has 1% to do with this story. So shit. make all of your predictions accordingly. The first prediction we ask, is it a rich man or a poor man?
Poor man. We're going to keep going on poor man.
I don't know if this was originally part of it, but I think that we should add it. Will a woman be forced to marry against her will? Yes or
actually,
no?
I think that was a question we asked sometimes.
I think it was.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes because you brought it up.
Is there talking animals?
Yes, a lark sings at least.
is God involved in this story?
Oh, see, now this is what I'm going to say. No, I'm gonna say no.
You're not gonna read my facial expressions. I'll cover the camera, David. You don't get to know what I think.
No, he's not.
How many dead bodies will litter this story?
Human, 1. Animal, 4.
That's pretty close. I mean, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I feel like that's pretty accurate. Wonderful, David. The singing. Comma, springing lark.
I appreciate you putting the comma in there.
Well, I just want to know the inflection that the book is giving me in
the
this
singing,
one.
Springing lark. Yeah. Yeah.
There was once a man who was about to set out on a long journey, mm-hmm. and on parting, he asked his 3 daughters what he should bring back for them.
Okay.
The eldest wished for pearls, the second wished for diamonds, but the third said, Dear father, I should like a singing, soaring lark.
A singing soaring lark?
Uh-huh, the book is already yeah, different from what the title
yeah, we're
promised.
We're going to diverge immediately.
The father said, yes, if I can get it, you shall have it. And he kissed all 3 and set out.
Okay.
Now, when the time had come for him to be on his way home again, he bought the pearls and the diamonds for the 2 eldest. And he sought everywhere in vain for a singing soaring lark for the youngest. And he was very unhappy about it, for she was his favorite child.
Oh no. I wonder if he makes that clear or if he keeps that to himself and they don't. They all think that they're loved equally.
I'm going to let you know you got to keep that shit real close to the vest because once the kids figure it out, you're fucked. Then his road lay through a forest and in the middle of it was a splendid castle and near the castle stood a tree. But quite on the top of the tree, he saw a singing, soaring lark.
Okay.
Ah, you have come just at the right moment, he said, quite delighted, and called to his servant to climb up and catch the little creature.
Damn it, it's a rich man.
But as he, I mean, he's getting diamonds and
well,
and
yeah, pearls. And he has a servant, like, yeah.
But as he approached the tree, a lion leapt from beneath it and shook himself and roared till the leaves of the trees trembled.
Okay.
He who tries to steal my singing soaring lark, he cried, I will devour.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Then the man said, I did not know that the bird belonged to you. I will make amends for the wrong I have done and ransom myself with a large sum of money, only to spare my life.
I like to think that, because he sent his servant to get it, right?
Yeah.
Is the servant the one talking or the man is the one talking?
The man's the one who's talking.
So I like to think the servant went to get it and the lion just straight up kills him and the man's like, oh, sorry, I didn't know it was yours.
He's bleeding out on the ground. He steps over him. Lion, please let me make amends for this. The lion said, nothing can save you unless you will promise to give me for my own what first meets you when you return home.
And it will be his favorite daughter.
And if you will do that, I will grant you your life and you shall have the bird for your daughter into the bargain.
Okay.
But the man hesitated and said, that might be my youngest daughter. She loves me the best and always runs...
No, you got sorry, you can finish the sentence.
And always runs to meet me when I return home.
Yeah, so now it's setting up that it's going to be the daughter. So my question is it tricking us and it's not going to be the daughter? Or is it just going to be, fuck it, it's the daughter?
The servant, bleeding out on the ground, however, was terrified and said, why should your daughter be the very one to meet you? It might easily be a cat or a dog.
Oh no, this fucking guy.
Then the man allowed himself to be persuaded, took the singing soaring lark, and promised to give the lion whatever should first meet him on his return home. When he reached the home and entered the house, the first one who met him was no other than the youngest and dearest daughter.
Of course it was. Why did we even go through the argument back and forth then?
Who came running up, kissed and embraced him. And when she saw that he had brought with him the singing soaring lark, she was beside herself with joy. The father, however, could not rejoice and began to weep and said, my dearest child, I have brought this little bird dear. In return for it, I have been obligated to promise you to a savage lion. And when he had...
I don't know. The lion seems pretty civilized to me if you can speak language and make a deal.
And when he has you, he will tear you to Reese's Pieces and devour you.
This is the first... reference in literature to Reese's Pieces.
That's right. Yeah. And he told her all just as it happened and begged her not to go there and come what might. But she consoled him and said, dearest father, indeed your promise must be fulfilled. I will go there and soften the lion so that I may return to you safely. Next morning, she had the road pointed out to her, took leave and went fearlessly into the forest. The lion, however, was an enchanted prince and was by day a lion. But at night, all the people were lions to him. But in the night, they resumed their natural human shapes. On her arrival, she was kindly received and led to the castle.
Wait, hold on. Say that part again.
David, the lion, however, was an enchanted prince, and by day a lion, and all of his people were lions with him.
But in the night, like his people, because he's a prince of people.
They resumed their natural human shapes. David, there is a pride of 75 lions, but at night they turn back into people.
But in the daytime when they're lions, is he still like sitting in a fancy chair, and there's one like standing next to him, and one like fanning him with?
there's a cave that looks like a lion's den, but really it just leaves. Leads back into the castle, which, yes. When night came arrived, she was kindly received and led into the castle. When night came, the lion turned into a handsome man, and their wedding was celebrated with great magnificence.
Jesus Christ.
David, they lived happily together, remained awake at night, and slept all during the day.
Okay, I mean, sure, yeah.
David, when that servant went for the bird, it was like literally the lion's alarm clock. It like woke him up and he was like, don't get rid of that. That's how we know when we're people again. One day, he came and said, tomorrow there is a feast in your father's house because your eldest sister is to be married. And if you are inclined to go there, my lion shall take you. She said, yes, I should like very much to see my father again. And went there, accompanied by the lions.
I just got an idea about what... So in the daytime... Oh, I have an idea. Okay, never mind. You keep going. I have a thought about what could happen here.
David, it's not going to happen. I'm going to let you know the story is infuriating.
Okay, so in the daytime, she doesn't also turn into a lion?
No, for whatever reason...
Because she's now one of his people.
She is one of the people, but I guess for whatever reason, she was not under the initial curse.
She wasn't there when he wronged some old...
Turned the lord away from his fucking grow house. Yeah. There was great joy when she arrived, for they all believed that she was torn to Reese's Pieces by the lion and had long ceased to live. But she told them that a handsome husband she had and how well off she was... remained with him while the wedding feast lasted, and then went back again to the forest. Just a normal fucking visit. Yeah, she was like, doing great. Okay,
sure, yeah.
Love you, Mom and Dad. I'm going to go back to my husband now. Peace. When the second daughter was about to be married, and she was again invited to the wedding, she said to the lion, this time I will not be alone. You must come with me. The lion, however, said that it was too dangerous for him, for if a ray from a burning candle fell on him, he would be changed into a dove for 7 long years, have to fly about with all the other doves. She said, but do come with me. I will take great care of you and guard you from all of the light. This sounds like every... son-in-law. I don't want to go to my father-in-law's house. I'll turn into a dove. You go without me.
It'll just be way easier if you go alone.
Yeah, you didn't know about this caveat, David, of what happens if a candlelight touches him?
Okay, you'll see when we get to lessons, but I literally, when we got to this part, it's not even a lesson. I'm just, like, writing an angry question.
Yes. Oh, David, keep writing down your angry thoughts. I can't wait to get them all from you. So they went away together and took with them their little child as well.
Oh, now they have... Okay, sure. Man, they are just not building these facts for the story in any cohesive way.
Well, David, she had a chamber built there so strong and thick that no ray could pierce through it. In this, he was to shut himself up when the candles were lit for the wedding feast.
What? So they built a room... Where they're gonna have the wedding?
No. At her father's place, she like wrote a letter ahead saying, hey, my husband can't, you know, he's a needy
I'm
man.
I'm gonna bring my husband, but can you make a room and shut all the windows and
where no light can get through. Yeah, right. Yeah. But the door was made of green wood, which warped and left a little crack, which no one noticed. Mm. The wedding was celebrated with magnificence, and when the procession with all the candles and torches came back from the church and passed by his apartment, a ray about the breadth of a hair fell on the king's son, and when the ray touched him, he was transformed in an instant, and when he came and looked for him, she did not see him, but a white dove was sitting there. The dove said to her, for 7 years I must fly about the world, and but at every seventh step that you take, I will let it fall a drop of red blood and a white feather, and these will show you the way. And what? If you follow the trace, you can release me. Thereupon, the dove flew out the door, and she followed him. And at every seventh step, a red drop of blood and a little white feather fell down and showed her the way. David, this is the way.
I hate this.
She went continually further and further in the wide world, where looking about her or resting, and the seven years almost passed, but she rejoiced and thought that they would soon be delivered, and yet they were so far from it. Once, when they were thus moving onwards, no little feather and no drop of red blood fell, and when she raised her eyes, the dove had disappeared. And she thought to herself, if this no man can help you. She climbed up to the sun and said to him, you shine into every crevice, onto every peak. Have you seen a white dove flying? No. David, she knows that no man can help her, so she's going to talk to ethereal beings. She went and spoke to Mr. Sun, who said, no, said the sun. I have not seen him, but I present you with a casket. Open it when you are in your sorest need. Then she thanked the sun and went on until evening and came upon the moon appeared. And she asked her, "You shine the whole night through and on every field and forest. Have you not seen a white dove flying?" "No," said the moon, "I have seen no dove. But here I give you an egg. Break it when you are in greatest need."
Okay, well, which does she do first? She's...
Order of operations, David. She thanked
casket,
the moon.
Casket, then egg.
Yes, she went. She thanked the moon and went on until the night wind came up. And then she said to it, "You blow on every tree and under every leaf. Have you not seen a white dove flying?" "No," said the night wind. I have seen none.
But so there's no doves in the world. Like,
but I will ask the three other winds. Perhaps they have seen it. David, this isn't any dove. This is one special dove.
She asked have you seen a white dove flying?
Nope.
And everyone's nope.
Sorry, brah. Haven't seen it. The east wind and the west wind came up and had seen nothing. But the south wind had said, "I have seen a white dove. It has flown to the Red Sea, where it has become a lion again. For the 7 years are over, and the lion is now is there fighting with a dragon."
What?
"The dragon, however, is an enchanted princess." What don't you understand, David? The bird has turned back into alive and is now fighting an enchanted princess over by the Red Sea, okay? Don't be dunce. don't be dense, you dunce. Thank you. The night wind then said to her, "I will advise you. Go to the Red Sea. On the right bank are some small reeds. Count them and break off the 11th and strike down the dragon with it. Then the lion will be able to subdue it, and both will then regain their human form. After that, look around and you will see a griffin, which is by the Red Sea. Swing yourself with your beloved onto its back, and then the bird will carry you over the sea to your own home. Here is a nut for you. When you are above the center of the sea, let the nut fall, and it will immediately shoot up. A tall nut tree will grow out of the water on which the griffin may rest. For if it cannot rest, it will not be strong enough to carry you across. And if you forget to throw down the nut, he will fall down into the sea." David, just follow these very simple instructions, okay? They're very simple.
This is so bad.
Then she went there and found everything as the night wind had said. She counted the reeds by the sea and cut off the 11th, struck the dragon with it, whereupon the lion overcame it, and immediately both of them regained their human shapes. But when the princess, who had before been the dragon, was delivered from her enchantment, she took the youth by the arm, seated herself on the griffin, and carried him off with her.
Husband stealer.
That stole her man, David! There stood the poor maiden who had wandered so far and was again forsaken. She sat down and cried, but as she took courage, she said, "Still, I will go on far as the wind blows and as long as the cock crows until I find him." Then she went forth by long, long roads until at last she came to the castle where upon them were living together. There she heard soon a feast was to be held in which they would celebrate their wedding. And she said, "God still helps me." And she opened the casket and said that the sun had given her. A dress lay inside of brilliant as the sun itself. So she took it out and put it on.
This is the second story where a sun dress is involved, David, but this isn't the same sun dress as the other story.
And went into the castle, and everyone, even the bride herself, looked at her and was astonished. David, Stella has got her groove back.
Sure does.
The dress pleased the bride so well that she thought it might do well as a wedding dress and asked her if it was for sale. "Not for money or land," answered she, "but for flesh and blood."
Okay.
Sure. The bride asked her what she meant by that.
Is the right response when someone tells you that?
And she said, "Let me sleep a night in the chamber where your bridegroom sleeps." The bride would not, yet wanted very much to have the dress. At last she consented, but the page was to give the prince a sleeping potion. Because if you're sleeping, David, you're not sleeping.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If you're sleeping, you're not sleeping around.
Yeah, I got you.
When it was night thereupon, and the youth was already asleep, she was led into the chamber. She seated herself at the bed and said, "I have followed after you for 7 years. I have been to the sun and the moon and the four winds, and have inquired for you, and have helped you against the dragon. Will you then quite forget me?" But the prince slept so soundly that it only seemed to him as if a wind was whistling outside in the fir trees. When day broke, she was led out again and had to give up the golden dress. And as even that had been to no avail, she was sad, went out into the meadow, sat down and wept. While she was sitting there, she thought of the egg which the moon had given her. She opened it, and there came out a clucking hen with 12 chickens, all of gold.
What?
I think they're not actually gold, but like a golden hue.
No, I think they are gold.
And they ran about chirping and crept again under the old hen's wings. Nothing was more beautiful was ever seen in the entire world.
No.
Then she arose and drove them through the meadow before her until the bride looked out the window. The little chickens pleased her so much she immediately came down and asked if they were for sale.
Sure.
"Not for money or land, but for flesh and blood. Let me sleep another night in the chamber where your bridegroom sleeps." The bride said yes, intending to cheat her as on the former evening. But when the prince went to bed, he asked the page what the murmuring and rustling in the night had been. At this, the page told all that he had been forced to give him a sleeping potion because a poor girl had slept secretly in the chamber, and that was to and that he was to be given another one tonight. The prince said, "Pour out that potion by the bedside." At night, she again led in, and when she began to relate how ill all had fared with her, he immediately recognized his beloved wife by her voice,
sure,
sprang up and cried, "Now I really am released." That's also what I say after I come as well.
Jesus Christ.
I apologize. Ejaculated. Thank you. "I have been as if it were in a dream, for the strange princess has bewitched me so that I have been compelled to forget you. But God has delivered me from the spell at the right time."
He didn't do anything.
David, this is all God's doing. Then they both left the castle secretly in the night, for they feared the father of the princess, who was a sorcerer. And they seated themselves on the Griffith, which bore them across the Red Sea. And when they were in the middle of it, she let the nut fall. Yep, you gotta let that nut fall. Immediately a tall nut tree grew up on which the bride rested, and then carried them home, where they found their child, who had grown into a tall and beautiful. And they lived happily until their death.
Into a tall and beautiful what?
The end.
What? Their child had grown into a tall and beautiful?
Yep, David, that's literally what it says. A tall and beautiful. Oh, I forgot it's reverse. I have to like fucking flip my... Okay, yeah, that's what it says, David.
Yeah,
just
yeah,
a tall and beautiful.
You.
The end. Slam.
Jesus. That was all over the fucking place.
I knew you were going to hate it. And as soon as I started reading it, I was like, this is exactly what David hates. Which is why I presented it to you. And now I present the audience lessons.
Okay.
Lessons.
Oh boy.
It's an unreliable narrator. Would you say that much, David?
I would just... Sure. No, not really. It's not unreliable in that the facts they're telling you are incorrect. It's that they are in, like... I assume intentionally, but maybe not.
If
just
this was,
not telling you everything.
if this was a high school improv scene, I would say there is way too many hats on hats. Like, yeah. What is going on?
You need to take an offer and run with it, not take an offer and then add 50 other offers that are different and opposite.
There is so many directions in this story and erections. David, what are your lessons?
Know what the price of a deal is before you say yes to it.
Uh-huh, I agree.
Although I guess overall it worked out.
Yeah, like, listen.
Oh, it's not actually a lion, he's a prince, so he didn't eat her, he married her. It's like, listen, okay.
Time makes everything okay. You know what I mean? Like, when I think about, right, like, I have a sister who got knocked up in high school. She's now happily married to that same man. But at the time, it felt like a deal with a lion. But now it's okay. It's okay.
I have Reese's Pieces are really a top-tier candy.
Listen, you fucked up M&M's by not being in that E.T. movie. Reese's Pieces are a wonderful treat. You can put them in popcorn. You can eat them in trail mix. They're great.
Top tier. I don't remember exactly what this is a reference to, but all I said was sins of the father. Am I right?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you know what I mean? Like, whatever happened to that lion guy, it's coming from someplace. So, yeah, that resonates with me.
Align your schedules with your partner.
You got it.
He's like, I can only be human at nighttime. She's like, great. I'll sleep during the day and then I'll be with you at night.
I write my schedule on the refrigerator. I know exactly what's going on.
Yep. then I have an angry question that says, what the fuck are these rules?
Yes.
And then I have a parenthesis that says candle dove, because that's when I wrote that. When it was talking about that he'll turn into a dove with the candles. Sure. Use quality materials when building your doors. Don't use none of that green warped wood.
Yeah, you got it. Listen, you think it's like, oh, okay, well, like, save the money. No. Buy the good door.
Okay. Then I have, fuck this story. Parentheses.
David, that's not a lesson. That's a statement.
No, it's fuck this. So then you're going to be mad about the rest of my lessons. fuck this story. Talking to the sun, moon, and wind. So that's why I said fuck this story.
Okay.
And then my next lesson is fuck this story. Parentheses. Dragon is a princess.
Yes.
And then I have fetch quests are not always a good story.
Oh, they're the worst. This does feel like the video game of, like, there's one story and they added all of this bullshit to, like, pad out this video game.
Then I have fuck this story, parentheses, here is a nut.
Yes.
Then I have to God goes the glory.
Yeah, that's that reality for sure.
Then I have fuck this story, parentheses, father is a sorcerer.
Yeah.
And then my last and final lesson is fuck this story, parentheses, a tall and beautiful.
Listen, I like the tales where we very clearly set something up and they pay off. There's way too much going on here. I want to know about the dragon. Did her father turn her into it? Like, there's so many questions I have.
Right.
David, I would assume you give this story -5 stars.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say, like, 1.5 stars, and I feel like I'm being generous.
Well, I appreciate your generous spirit. I appreciate your generous ears. And I appreciate all of you for joining us for these wonderful, terrible tales.
The one was good.
Well, one was okay.
I like the first one.
They were good. That was a parable.
It was simple. The first one was simple. So, like,
Yep. And just as we are your simple hosts, we are now off to get some delicious pie from a pieman. That's what simple folks do.
Sure.
The one who probably likes an apple pie and maybe a key lime pie, well, that's David Miller.
And the one who, like, absolutely hates pumpkin pie is that's Michael Santel.
How dare you put those aspersions on me? If my father was a sorcerer, he would turn you into a dragon now.
Well, you were wrong about what pies I like, so get fucked.
What pies do you like?
I don't like a lot of pies, so, like, I do like pumpkin pie, but, like, otherwise, I just kind of leave pies alone. I'm more of a cake guy, but I saw someone recently be like, rate these brownies, cookies, cakes, pies. And for me, it's basically that order. Brownies, cookies, cakes, pies.
What's wrong with you? What
it might be brownies, cakes, cookies, pies, but I think cookies are better than cake. But brownies are better than cookies.
I'll take pie over most things all of the time. Pie in a cup is one of my favorite things.
Hmm.
You can walk around it in the house while it's in the cup.
Yeah.
You put the whipped cream on top, David.
You know, that's just what cups allow you to do. It doesn't matter what's in the cup.
We will continue this conversation off air, and we hope all of you will join us again on air for another exciting episode of Storytime.
Okay.
Bye! Oh,
that's our show. Thanks for coming round. Don't be sad. No need to frown. We'll have more stories. Don't throw a fit. Goodbye, one and all, and we'll see you in a bit.
My audio is recording.
As is my audio as well recording.
That's a terrible statement. I don't know where that one came from. That was all over the place. Grammarly's got to fix that one.
Love it.
Great double drink, David.
Water break.
Water break. Keep hydrated, everyone. Hydrate.